Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
So they're doing this thing over at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago Sunday. I hope the walks will be clear then. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Steve Winter, the award-winning National Geographic photographer, is going to be there. He gives talks across the country, I suppose the world. If I showed you some of the photographs, you'd recognize them probably. And he has these amazing videos as well. How he captures them is a story. What the state of big cats in the world is a story, too. And he's going to talk all about that. Steve's on line 7. Steve, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Actually, I'm assuming you're East Coast. Where are you right now, Steve?
No, I'm in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where I'm doing the same talk I'll be doing in Chicago tonight. Yeah, it's kind of cold up here.
What's the weather like?
Oh, it's not bad. It's only about 20. So yeah. They said last week it was minus 50. So we have to be happy for things like just 20.
So did you always, like, what drove you to the job and the life that you've had? Was it a love of nature and animals, or was it a love of photography?
Great question. I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it was a love of photography. My desire as an 8-year-old kid looking at National Geographic and Life magazine was to go to those villages I was seeing and meet those exotic people. I never in a million years ever looked at animal stories and thought, that's what I'm going to do, because where I grew up, all we had were cows and pigs and squirrels and raccoons and deer, you know. So, but, you know, life takes us on different courses. I knew the power of photography by looking at some of the images in Life magazine and National Geographic, and decided that my dream was I wanted to be a Nat Geo photographer when I grew up. And lucky enough, I got to realize my dream. It just happens to be with big cats.
Right. I mean, you could be photographing people around the world or other nature scenes or other animals, but right. It turned out to be big cats. So that's really what you do, right? You're not doing other assignments for them. You're always tracking cats, are you?
100%. I mean, the last story was the December issue, written by my wife, journalist Sharon Guynup, and Nat Geo Explorer, Woodrow Wilson Fellow. But it was on tigers in the United States under private ownership. What we're trying to do is get the Chinese to do something about their tiger farms and to save the species from extinction. So we do certain things that have tangible results.
What's a tiger farm?
Give the government enough money. Give the government enough information to make a decision on this, because first responders are tired of going into Houston after a hurricane, opening the door to a house and have a lion jump out at them, or there was a tiger in a church during the last hurricane. Somebody just dumped it in there and closed the door.
No kidding. You said tiger farms in China. I mean, are tigers endangered? And what's a tiger farm? It would seem to me a tiger farm would be a good thing. You'd get more tigers there.
Well, yeah, but it keeps the people's desire for ingesting either parts of this endangered species that have no medicinal value. It's like rhino horn. People say, well, rhinos are going extinct because some guy in Vietnam said he got cured of cancer. And rhino horn's made out of keratin, the same thing as our fingernails and our hair, and has zero medicinal value. It's, you know, most of our pharmaceutical drugs come from Mother Nature, over 50%. Like aspirin comes from the bark of a tree, stuff like that. But this endangered species, like using tiger, that's all based on, you know, getting the strength and the power of this cat. And no, that's a bunch of mumbo jumbo.
I could see how they would try and sell that. What's the most endangered species then in the cat family?
The most endangered species is the tiger. That's why we're trying to stop this. My wife and I got the tiger temple in Thailand closed down, or gave the government there enough information after four stories and the video that we did for Nat Geo. They went in and removed and saved all 163 tigers. They just wouldn't believe that a Buddhist monastery that had tigers for tourism purposes would be involved in the black market trade. And I said, I'm from Indiana. That place says it has 150 cats all the time, but 365 days a year, you can bottle feed or pet a tiger cub. That means they're breeding them. What do you have when you breed dogs and cats? More dogs and cats. It's no different here. And so we gave them enough information, and they found out, yeah, they indeed were shipping these cats off dead to China.
Wow. What's the what's your take on then zoos that hold tigers and these big cats? Is that good for the species and good for us, or are you not an advocate of that?
Well,
he's weighing. That's the sound of a man who does not want
Sunday
to answer that question.
I walk on stage on Sunday as a for National Geographic. Now, listen, these animals exist in these zoos because as a kid, what zoo did I go to? Your zoo in Chicago, in Fort Wayne. We used to go to the Field Museum, all that. The animals are alive. They're in the zoos. They offer education. Those things are vitally important. I just spent 2 months seeing big cats in horrific conditions, and except for the good sanctuaries like Turpentine Creek in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, the Wild Animal Sanctuary in Colorado, Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, but some are just horrific things. So it's hard to talk about animals in cages.
Yeah, right.
Right now, it's kind of a sore spot for me, and we would just like to be able to stop this. There are no federal regulations for a $40 USDA permit. You can own a tiger. But what I'm going to talk about on Sunday,
yeah,
I'm going to show a few of these images, but really what the talk is about is about being a National Geographic photographer in the field working with big cats. What is that like? How do you start a story, you know? You come up with an idea, and you have to write a proposal and do a budget and get permission from the editor-in-chief, and off you go. But then you need permits from a country such as India, where I did tigers, that take 2 years to get permits. So it's a long process. So I'm going to talk about my first encounter with big cats that scared me to death and what got me started in big cats. So we'll do jaguars, snow leopards, cougars, and tigers on Sunday.
Jaguars, to me, are the most exotic of them all, or intriguing. Can you validate that a little bit? Aren't they interesting animals?
Yeah, no, they're incredibly interesting because they also do things differently. They kill their prey unlike any other cat. Usually they get the throat. A jaguar pierces the skull. It's got the second strongest jaw strength of, you know, in the world, besides the animal that it likes eating the most, where you can see them, which is the Pantanal in western Brazil. I did the first jaguar story ever for National Geographic. Then I did the second jaguar story ever, and then a TV show for Nat Geo Wild with Bertie Gregory called Jaguars versus Crocs, that we're going to see part of that on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, you know, and there is such intelligent animals. Pat Craig, who started the biggest sanctuary in the United States, just a wonderful man in a wonderful place. He said that they're the most intelligent cat he's ever encountered. And in the wild, they used to follow me, and I would never see him. I get goosebumps on the back of my neck and on my arm, and I turn around, and you don't see anything because you're in the jungle, the rainforest.
Yeah.
You know, because we're hardwired like cavemen still. You know something's following you because you don't see it. And being a kid from Indiana, and that my first natural history story, I was afraid. No doubt about it. But then I found out they're just curious cats.
Have they ever come after you?
For 23 years.
Have you ever had an encounter where they're coming after you or something like that?
Well, every story I do, my heart's in my throat and I can't breathe and the camera's shaking so bad. I figure, you know, the film or the picture is going to be unusable. But they always stop because we're not a part of these animals' image search for food, and we haven't been for millennia because we walk on 2 feet, forward-facing eyes. And I keep telling people, because when I did the Hollywood Cougar, the mountain lion on the Hollywood side,
I remember that.
People start getting worried, and I said, you know, we don't smell like food either, folks. We use fragrant soaps in our laundry. We use shampoos that smell like lavender. We use deodorant that smells like Old Spice. We use perfumes, colognes, toothpaste. So when we walk by, if a cat could, it would probably hold its nose and go, that doesn't smell like food to me. That smells like a chemical factory, you know. So,
and should I also look directly at the cat? You said forward-facing eyes are not in their food footprint, so that's a good idea, too?
Well, I've had people that tell me that you do want to make eye contact with them. Gorillas, no, but we're not talking about gorillas.
No.
Gorillas, you need to, at a silverback, look down because that's giving deference to the silverback, the guy who's in charge.
Yeah.
I look right in the eyes of the lions and tigers and all of us. Tigers are mysterious, I'll tell you that, when you look in their eyes. Lions are the laziest cat in the big cat family, that's for sure.
Steve Winter's a photographer for National Geographic, can you tell? He's giving a speech, he's giving a talk. You'll see videos and pictures as well, Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. Go to the Auditorium Theater's website. The tickets start at $42, go to $54. It says here this is a family-friendly event, but as you can imagine, a show about big cats includes depictions and discussions of the realities of nature. Good luck to you. Safe travels. And thanks for some of your time, Steve. We'll be looking for your work.
Thank you very much. I look forward to speaking Sunday afternoon. See you all there.
Steve Winter.